So I would like to continue this afternoon. We're again looking at meditation for life. And in a way, I think part of that is this recognition, this appreciation of life in this moment, and also so that we can be more in it. To me, this is, in a way, often we see meditation as, in a way, taking us to maybe some special place or special state. Personally, I would say it's, in a way, the opposite. I think meditation helps us to be more in this life, which is happening now, instead of, in a way, being somewhere else. And I think, in a way, meditation helps us to appreciate more, to be more present to this life. Because in a way, back to this talk about boredom, I find this an interesting boredom. I mean, personally, I generally am never bored when I sit in meditation. But if we reflect a little in terms of evolution, you have had, you know, this evolution for millions of years. You know, I mean, all the things and the little things in the water which then crawled and da-da-da-da, and then, you know, I mean, it's a lot of hard work, you know? And all this milieu of evolution ends up in us. And then we bored. I mean, you know, this is hard done by evolution, really, you know? And it seems to me that meditation helps us to be more aware of that. In a way, how amazing it is that we are alive in this moment. And so that, in a way, we stop taking our life for granted, taking others for granted, and that, in a way, we're more present, in a way, to each, in a way, moment of our life. I remember when I was in Korea, in the lecture hall, there was a grandfather clock. And in the meditation room, too, there was a grandfather clock, and it would go tuk-tak, tuk-tak, then bong, bong, bong. And, of course, all the Westerners wanted the clock out, you know. It was disturbing. We could not meditate. And the master said, no way. You know, the clock, it's a great teaching. It's teaching you that every tuk, every tak, your life is running out. What are you going to do? You know, your life rests upon a single breath. What are you going to do now? So in a way, it's kind of really coming back to this moment, to this potential in this moment. Because I think, often in a way, there is a little of a frustration about our life, frustration about ourselves also. And in a way, sometimes there is this desire to be someone else and to be somewhere else. And actually, I think the meditation really helps us to, in a way, really accept, in a way, our humanity. The fact that we are human, the fact that we have limitation, but also that we have great potential. So that, in a way, we realize, we accept that there is no one else to be and there is nowhere else to go, but really being with this life in this moment. And this is, I really kind of, in a way, felt it a few years back when my grandmother, who died age 94, and at the time she was 92 and she was weakening a little. And so what I would do some afternoon, so my mother could do something else, I would play dominoes with grandma for 2 or 3 hours. And this was in the autumn, and we're sitting in the veranda. And so we were playing dominoes, and my grandma would see leaves on the patio. And she hated leaves. Leaves were bad, leaves were dangerous, any leaves. So we play domino, and then I can see the look. Ah, 3 leaves. So she's trying to get up, she can't, so I get up, sweep the leaves, back to the domino, then 4 leaves. I get up, sweeps, back, 5. So the third time I get up, I'm sweeping the leaves, and I kind of start to see this kind of thought. Huh, it is really not very heroic, you know, to be sitting playing domino and sweeping leaves. Maybe I could do something better with my life. And then in the next moment, I realized that there is nothing else to do, nowhere else to be. That it was just what I was doing in that moment was play domino and sweep leaves. This was it. That was all that was required. And as soon as I realized that, there was such ease in the whole being. Like there was nothing too much, nothing too little. It was just what was going on in that moment. And in a way, I was flowing with it instead of judging it or fighting with it. And to me, this was a very interesting experience because I realized what I added when there was this kind of this fight, this tension. And so in a way, I think often we have this kind of heroic aspiration. I think, you know, we have this heroic, idealistic aspiration that we want to do something amazing in our life. We must accomplish the amazing purpose of our life. We must find the great meaning of our life. When actually, I think our life is about just living in an ordinary way. And I'm not saying that we are not special. I think each of us is special in our own way, because our conditions are different. But I think at another level we are very ordinary. I don't know, for myself, the meditation was in a way the discovery of my ordinariness. And in a way the reveling in it, the appreciation of it. Because I always wanted to be special. I had to be special. I had to be different. So, you know, even age 5, I was dreaming that my parents were not my parents and, you know, there was some king somewhere, you know, and I would find whatever. And then, you know, until I realized they were not that bad, so I should, you know, enjoy them. And then, you know, age 11, I wanted to save the world and to become president of the republic, and then downgraded to member of parliament, and then downgraded to journalist, until finally I just did meditation. But then I became a nun. And this was the apogee, the pinnacle of my specialness. Because I was the only French nun in Korea. So I was one among 60 million Koreans, and I was one among 60 million French people. So I was one among 120 million people. I mean, this is special, isn't it? But it did not make me especially happy. And then I stopped being a nun. Then I came back to live in Europe. And my first day as an ordinary person, I felt strange. I felt kind of strange. So I kind of look around, look inside myself, and then I realized nobody was looking at me special. And it was a great experience to see how all these years I was kind of that thirst, that wanting to be different, to be special, and now to realize, well, I'm just like everybody else. And that, in a way, over time, just becoming more and more ordinary. But I would say in a meditative way, where one, in that ordinariness, we're still cultivating wisdom, we're still cultivating compassion. I think also the meditation can help us to develop faith in potential in this life. And so it's not just kind of like a bare acceptance, okay, this is the way it is, but it's really a cultivation, a training, an experimenting. And to see, in a way, there is this potential within us for positive and for negative. And I would say that the meditation is a cultivation of the positive. It helps us to develop calm. Not calm in the fact that we are calm no matter what happens. This, to me, that's not calm. I am calm. I am seething inside, but I am calm. To me, that's not calm. The calm, the quietness I'm talking about, is a spaciousness, is a stability. We feel stable, like inside ourselves. We might feel a little agitated if something happened or if you're frightened just before. I came here on the way. I was driving to the airport, and driving to the airport, I nearly did not get here because I nearly had an accident. And it was a very small thing. But what was interesting was the experience. In that moment, it was, and inside here, there was this, you know, this kind of fear, this kind of just this survival fear. And there was no accident, and I got to the airport, and here I am. And so it did not mean I did not experience this, I was not like, nothing happened, you know, this is, you know, rising, passing away. No, I mean, I felt something, you know, obviously. But at the same time, I was not destabilized by it. And that's what I mean with developing this stability, with developing this spaciousness, so we can be with difficult thing or beautiful thing in a stable way. There is also this openness. I think the openness is very important. That the meditation helps us to be more creatively engaged with ourselves, with the world, with other people. And so we have to be very careful of not using meditation as a means to disassociate from our life. To me, this is kind of, sometimes we can use it that way. And personally, I would not encourage that. To me, meditation is very much going inside our life, really to be open to it, in all its facets. And also the brightness. I feel meditation helps us to develop brightness, creativity, responsiveness. And so it's back to these two functions, to these two capacity. And I know I put the emphasis on this today, that meditation is not special. I think we have to be careful of mixing cultivation and effect. When we sit in meditation, we cultivate meditation. And then, at some point, there will be the effect of that. But often I feel we sit in meditation and we look at the effect. Every second we're judging the effect of meditation. Is this working? It's not working. I'm not calm. I still have thought. I mean, I have been meditating for 10 years. How come I still have thought? Well, you still have thought because you have a brain which works. You know, and meditation will not change that unless you do some strange concentration practice. So in a way, to see, but you meditated for 10 years and the difference is in your life. It's in the way you are with yourself, the way you are with others. To me, this is what is important. And that's why it's important to see that what we do in meditation is a cultivation of concentration and inquiry. It is not the wanting a special state. It is just cultivating. And the result of it does not, I would say, matter very much as long as there is a cultivation. And the cultivation of concentration first, for this calmness, this stillness, this spaciousness. And often the way it's pointed out, this concentration, is like if you have a glass which is filled with water and some earth, and then if you shake it, then it's very muddy, you can't see anything. But if you leave the glass for a little while, then it's calm, it's settled, and then the earth, the particles go to the bottom, and then you can see the earth, you can see the water, and it's much clearer. You see what you are dealing with. And I think to me this is the same with meditation. That as we sit in meditation, as we try to concentrate, we start to see our habits, our mental, emotional, physical habits. And because of that, we kind of start to bring these habits, which kind of have a tendency to fix us, to limit us, back to their function. That's what, to me, meditation is not about eradication. Meditation is actually bringing what kind of fix us, kind of stop us, into more like a functioning creativity. So we thought, for example, as I mentioned, we have thought, and then over time, with meditation, we can see that actually most of our thought are fairly repetitive. Today, I doubt that you had a thought you never thought before. Maybe one or two, possibly. But most of them, I would say you have thought them before, haven't you? You know, you know them. You have kind of, you know, said, ah, yes, this story. Ah, yes, that one. Oh, yeah. I mean, generally, we see. Meditation really helps us to see without judging. What is it I think? I think it's kind of important to know. What is it I think? And one of the things we can see that we often do, and we spend a lot of time doing it, and sometimes it can be a little stressful, is planning. We can have a tendency to plan. So we plan our dinner, we plan our shopping list, we plan our holiday, we plan our retirement, whatever it is. But we don't just do it once. We do it twice, 3 times, 10 times, 50 times. And look, generally it's fairly repetitive. So I would say with planning, if you have a tendency to plan, only do 5 planning at a time. Only 5. And you kind of, you know, okay, 5 times, now I can move on. Next one, 5 times. And if you do this, you kind of start to see, oh, maybe actually often you just need to plan 2 or 3 times, leave it, and then later you can come back to it. Because often what we do, we plan, and then we remember what we plan. And then we remember to remember what we plan. And actually this is quite stressful. This is quite kind of brings some tension in the being. Instead of saying, yes, at time I need to plan, I can do it a few times and then I leave it. I don't have to constantly do it. Then there is also emotional habit. We can start to be aware there is kind of a thing in ourselves. We have a tendency to feel a certain way. We have a tendency to emote in a certain way. And I think in meditation, we can see this a little more clearly, and also when it's light, which is easier to deal with. When it's very intense, it's very hard. But when it's light or it's habitual, we can see, what is my tendency? What do I do? How do I feel? In order not to be, because generally we have a feeling, then we name it, we have a story attached to it, and off we go. And to me, meditation helps us to be more in the experience itself of the feeling. Before we name it, before the story, how does it feel? Is it heavy? Is it agitated? How is it? And to be with it. And in a way to start to recognize it. I know for myself it really helped me a lot with anger. I used to have a tendency toward being angry because I had a little fiery, little energy. And to me, anger is actually energy. It means that you have energy. And generally it can, you know, lead to action. But when it becomes really a habit, in a way we can be stuck with it. We can be stuck with that energy. And then generally we think, oh, I am angry? There must be a reason for it. And then we look, you know, for people to be angry with. And I know for myself, when I used to live in a community which is kind of good to, it kind of raised generally the level of anger living in a community. I know it's, you know, ideally it's a wonderful place, but I think it's the greatest training for seeing if you're really a good meditator is to be on a community. And so I would wake up in the morning and I would say to my husband, I am angry. And he would say, what about? And I said, I have no idea. But in a way, this enabled me to see, but what is going on? You know, I have this feeling. How can I be with it? And also to start to recognize the conditions that triggered the feeling or that made it kind of, you know, manifest in a certain way. And so over time, I recognized that I would get irritable if I was tired. And then I would get angry, and then I would look for somebody to be angry with. Until I realized, but no, this is tiredness. I've not done anything. And then instead of looking for somebody, I would go and rest for an hour. And then I was much nicer to live with. So in a way, to see, it's not that we do meditation and we never feel anger ever again. Not at all. But we start to know our anger in a different way. We start to be with it differently. And then it's not that we're not angry. We are angry because there are things which provoke that, because it's a natural feeling. But we are with it in a different way. And also it's less intense, and generally it lasts much less long. So in a way, to be careful of seeing meditation again as an eradication of certain emotion, I don't think so. The feeling will still be there, but maybe it won't become so easily a disturbing emotion. And there is also the kind of physical habits, which I feel are kind of like signal that the body let us know, look, something is going on. You should do something about this. And to me, that's why the meditation, when we walk, to be aware of the body, I think is a very good training. To learn to listen more to what is going on in our body. Not that we become afraid of our body, but we start to listen to it more, and then we start, in a way, to care for it more, and to kind of, in a way, creatively engage with it. So in a way, the concentration, helping us to see those mental, emotional, physical habits more clearly, and then gently bringing us back to this functioning, to the creative functioning of that. Then there is experiential investigation, and I think this is very important. Meditation is not just about being concentrated, not just about being calm and spacious. It's also about using the brightness of the mind. We have this ability to be bright, to look deeply, to investigate, to experiment. And that really, in a way, develops the clarity, the creativity. To me, this is, in a way, the what will really help us to transform, give us the energy to transform. Because just seeing, just being quiet with something is not enough. We need to have that kind of little brightness, which say, wait a minute. Can I do this in a different way? Can I look at it in a different way? And they say, in a way, in the example, that it's a little like if you have a coil in a dark room. It's dark and you see this kind of some shape in the corner. And it has the shape of a snake. And you might be very frightened. But if you put the light on, then you see just a coil of rope. And this is the same. The experiential investigation helps us to see what is really going on. It's kind of bringing light onto the conditions. So in a way, it is not a bare, impervious awareness. We are not staring at reality, but we're actually going inside the experience and seeing how is it, and in a way engaging creatively with it. And that's why, in a way, in terms of the meditation, there is this emphasis on looking and the changing nature, noticing how things change, noticing also the conditioned nature, that things arise upon condition. We are not fixed, we are not solid. Of course, we might have certain tendency to do things in a certain way, but we are not fixed forever. There is possibility of change. And I think, to me, it's very important to, in meditation, to be aware of that. I think we can I know people say, oh, nothing is happening. Well, nothing is happening which you might be expecting. Look a little at that. But actually, a lot of things are happening. You are sitting, you are breathing, you are hearing, you are feeling, you are smelling, you are tasting, you are sensing, thinking. And if you notice any of these functions through our senses, actually they are generally changing. I mean, once I was doing a month's retreat in silence, and actually very quickly I had a pain in the stomach. And so I spent, you know, most of the time looking, being aware of that pain in the stomach. But to me what was so interesting is that sometimes it was so there. I would sit there and really, you know, it was rather painful there. And the next second it was gone. And then it would come again. But it showed me that it was not as fixed and as solid. The same with the thought. They came, they went. If I did not do much with them, they came, they went. Same with the feeling. One moment you feel ecstatic, next moment, it's so. It comes, it goes. And in a way, to be aware of that, to in a way dissolve a little that tendency we have, this is going to last forever. We have this tendency to permanentize. And this experiencing moment to moment, the changing nature of things, then I think it helps us to be more in the flow of our life instead of fighting in our life. And in that way, I feel it gives us choices. And so I would say that the two together, the concentration and the inquiry, developing the quietness and the clarity, help us to develop a creative awareness. And I would say in meditation, generally not much will happen. You sit in meditation, as far as I know, nobody is doing anything to you, and so not much will happen. But I think generally the creative awareness is activated in daily life. The way you take the bus, the way you talk to people, the way you work. And look at how, this is interesting, how do we work? What do we do when we work? And often again, when we work, we're actually already there. We kind of, we barely start a task. And we're already at the end of it, and already moving on to the next one. And in a way, when we do that, it kind of stresses us a bit. Because we barely started, that we already want to be finished. And so we have this feeling, oh, I have to do this. Instead of really being present to it. Or we work and we're totally distracted and doing it very mechanically. And sometimes we might make mistakes when we do this in that way. And so in a way, how can we work and be very present to the work itself? And two, three years ago, we were teaching in New Mexico. And we did a day working meditation, where the people come in the morning, 7 o'clock, before going to work. Then we have a little chat, little kind of instruction, meditation. Then they go to work. And then they come back, and then we talk about it. And so that day, I personally said, pointing out about listening meditation, and trying to see how can you bring harmony in the speech, in the workplace. And Stephen suggested to be aware of this being ahead of oneself and trying to be really present in what we did. And then people came back, and there was two ladies. One, she took what Stephen said. She was trying to do that. And she said generally she felt really stressed. She felt like there was not enough time to do everything she had to do, so she always had this feeling that I am not good enough, I don't have enough time, I can't achieve what I want to achieve. And then she did what Stephen suggested, to really be present to the work, each moment. And she said it was amazing. Actually, she was very efficient, and she was not stressed. And she nearly accomplished more than normally. And so in a way, to be aware, how do I work? And with another lady, it was about speech. She said, when we work as potter, we are 5 potters, and it's a little kind of like a showroom of pottery, and we do it on the moment. And so we spend the day all together doing the pottery, and so they chat. And generally she found it very unfriendly, because it was really backbiting and gossiping, and generally, as she was a Buddhist and meditator, she did not participate in it, but she did not like it. So she thought, well, could I do something about it, as I suggested? So she went, and when people started to arrive and started to chat, she said, oh, couldn't we speak in a different way? Couldn't we talk about different things? And then somebody said, oh yes, I would like that too, because generally I find it's a little dark, a little, nasty. Yes, let's do something else. And that day, the speech were very different. What they said to each other, how they spoke to each other. So in a way, the meditation, here we're kind of cultivating certain skills. And then we take them into our daily life. That being aware in a creatively engaged way. And also, in a way, having more choices, kind of instead of thinking, this is the way it is, it's not going to change. Seeing, is there anything I can do? Not an heroic something, but a small something. Is there a small something I can do, which would be creative? So, my time is up, so I will stop now. So again, at the end of the day, we will have some discussion. And then now there is walking, sitting. So going back to the silence and then walking slowly, walking mindfully. And then we can ring the bell just 2 or 3 minutes before 10:02.